Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
John and Joe, another episode ready to go. They're gonna talk about the good and the trash and anything in between. Cherishing make-believe, get ready for Halloween. It's the horror show. I know you miss those guys. Tune in and find out what's on their list tonight. They butcher and dissect, take apart and mutilate. Listen to your two favorite brainiacs communicate. It's the horror show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Horror Show, a show that dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not-so-favorite horror movies and other cult classics. I'm Sean.
I'm Joe.
I forgot that I was doing that for a while. So I went back. Hello, Joe.
What's up, man?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all. We have a movie today.
We do.
Ghost Keeper.
Before I get my opinion, while I was watching it, all I could think about was you. Like, oh man. He's not going to be about this at all.
Let's see. So this was the battle of the movies that ran an hour and 26. This and Satan's Blade.
Yeah.
Ooh, which one would I rather watch?
Well, okay, well, for starters, I didn't hate this.
Not bad. I actually don't. I mean, it's very bad. Like, it's like not, it's a very bad movie. Like, it's bad.
Not that.
And there's some interest.
It's not that.
Joe. They don't even explain what's happened. Joe. There's like
it's a human Wendigo.
No, Joe. That's okay. That's fine. That's fine if you want to infer that. That's not even mentioned. That guy, the human Wendigo, isn't even mentioned or talked about. He's in two scenes.
That lady, the old lady, explains it. She's the watcher. She's the keeper. She talks about her two sons in the beginning, and then that's her other son. He's the human Wendigo. Listen, man, he looks kind of like terrifying.
I liked him a lot, but
it's psychotic.
I wish they showed it, but there's a reason why they didn't show it a lot. As I came to find out.
Wow, do tell.
Well, so this movie, everybody, let's talk about this movie. It was filmed in Banff, Alberta, Canada, under a tax shelter. The film had an unstable financial situation and was almost stopped completely halfway through making the movie. Now,
I can't believe it had a financial situation.
Well, get ready to find out how much money they had. Somewhere between $650,000 and $1 million. $650,000 and $1 million. In the first article that ever came out about it in the a Canadian Herald, they listed it as $650,000 production. A few months later, they talked about it, mentioned it at $750,000, and then the final report through a newspaper listed it as $1 million, which would make sense for a movie that's struggling financially to continue to get little lumps of money, right?
Okay.
Now, yeah. That is a lot of money to blow through. And not a lot to show for it. Now, the director, Jim McAchuck, was like, hey, he blames everything on the financial situation. He's like, this would have been a good movie if we didn't run out of money halfway through. And that's why the second half of the movie is weird, because we filmed it. He's claiming they filmed it sequentially. And
okay,
so They literally filmed half of the movie, minute one to minute 45. And that's when they ran out of money. And then he claimed after that, he was like, well, when we ran out of money, they kept filming, by the way. So they ran out of money. This is where all the math gets a little fuzzy for me. He claims he ran out of money halfway through, but then he kept shooting. But in order to save money, he decided to just make up the movie as they went along.
Like, not going by the script that they had.
Correct.
Just shooting on the fly.
It was as if, he said it as if reading the script and going by the script would have cost more money. That was the way he described it. I should try and find the quote. But he said, he decided to abandon the remaining script and make things up as he went along, hoping to at least retain the film's creepy atmosphere.
Okay.
So I don't know what that... Again, what does that have to do with money? And also, where did the fucking money go?
Especially if they shot it sequentially.
Right.
Because not a lot happens in that first half.
No.
And I'd argue... Almost nothing happens in that first half.
And the Wendigo is supposed to have a very substantial role in the film. But many of the scenes had to... Now, here's another weird thing. They had to remove the scenes due to budget restraints.
Okay.
So I don't know if that means they shot them and they're like, hey, we're out of budget. We can't show you this.
I would assume... If I'm going to give them any credit, that they shot them and were like, hey, we can't continue to show this in our movie. Like, right, for future
scenes,
money
we can't. With the makeup. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Right.
Now, here's the other little kicker of this money situation. This is an independent movie. That sometimes those take forever to film. I think the Evil Deads took like more than a year, right? Like, because they were just like, they would run out of money and then come back and shoot and things like that. A lot of independent first time movies take forever to make because they don't have the money and people are working real jobs. This movie was shot. Now, again, think about that budget and how quickly they burned through it halfway through. This film began November 30th, 1980. They started shooting and finished December 23rd, 1980.
Wow.
24 days. He blew through $1 million of cash.
Good for him.
Now, where did the money go?
I mean, we know, right? The 80s.
Yeah.
They got a hotel.
But like, that's even the crazier. And here's the other thing. All of the actors... First-time actors. Like, everyone was pulled. Yeah. No one had worked before, really.
And last-time actors.
Yes, first and last time. So it's not like he had to pay for them.
Right.
And here I found his quote here. So he said, they told us that the money is almost gone. We had a choice of stopping the movie, pulling the plug. And I said, no way. We've got over half of it shot. So every day I made up the scene as we're going along, which is not the way to make a movie. That's what made it so uneven and without the terrific ending that we had hoped for. But the thing I wanted with Johnny Holbrook, who's a great cameraman, is to have a mood, a dark sort of mood, an ominous thing going on. And I think for the most part it works. The prints that got finished were so dark, but the distributors, those guys, they don't care at all. According to Matt Kachuk, prior to the depletion of the budget, his original intention was to film a much longer ending, including an extended chase sequence with Spear, who plays Jenny, and the Wendigo creature on the rooftop of the Deer Lodge Hotel.
Talk about anticlimactic, by the way.
Well, Joe, that's what I'm saying. This isn't a good movie, Joe. This is fucking... an insane fucking movie. I really didn't mind it though. It was like kind of cool. And then the end really just like fucking.
Listen, I'm just all about just doubling down and calling that fucking ugly guy a Wendigo.
I mean, he is. That's what it is.
Shit on his face.
Calling him a Wendigo. That's what it is.
I mean, for the director to do that, take some brass, maybe.
Well, if you think
people,
about
you're
it,
making a Wendigo movie and then having them be like, well, where's the Wendigo? I was like, oh, it's just fucking Jim.
Well, if you think about it, right? Pet Cemetery, right? That was a Wendigo.
Right. It was.
But it was people. It was like the Wendigo curse that turned people into that. So I don't know. Maybe that's what Wendigos are all about. We just need a good old-fashioned Wendigo flick, though. Just a real Wendigo.
Yeah, I like them with the, you know, the deer horns.
Yeah.
The bone antlers. Okay.
Also, weirdly, speaking of Stephen King here, this movie started shooting 6 months after The Shining came out. And I feel like there were some elements. I feel like he might have seen The Shining. It was like, I've got it.
Well, yeah, dude. He's in a hotel in the snow. Of course.
And he might have read Pet Cemetery. He might have been like, who's this Stephen King fellow? Then read Pet Cemetery and was like, I've got an idea.
Oh, fuck. Wendigos. Not knowing what a Wendigo is.
Holy shit. Trying to pull the Stephen King and just taking a fucking truckload of cocaine while doing your job. Allegedly.
Yeah.
So anyway. Yeah, so The Shining came out, and 6 months later, they started filming. You got Murray Ord. He gets top billing over here as Marty. But Marty is a character. Marty might have been also taking part in that $1 million.
For sure. Money.
Dude, the scene where he's, like, smearing the shit on his face. Like,
dude, singing the Speedy Gonzalez song. Yeah.
You got Georgie Collins.
I'm sorry. Dude, singing that song, I only know it because Speedy Gonzalez always sang it in Looney Tunes, but he's adding in lines about rape.
Yeah.
At the end of it. Like, why is he doing that?
I don't know, but he got a real fucking chuckle over. Never seen a guy laugh so hard.
Talk about wasting money. 10 minutes of celluloid on that.
That's the only thing I could think of is trying to, maybe he wasted the money on film trying to shoot these bozos.
You know, I mean, $1 million is still way too much.
That's so much.
He could have cut some corners.
And then the other thing is like, I was like, in my head, it was so crazy because in my head, I was like, oh, maybe it was like the cost of the hotel and shit. Because it is a hotel. It's a real hotel in Banff. I was like, maybe that just costs a lot of money. I don't know. They have to clear the whole thing out. Turns out he's like best friends with the guy that fucking owns the hotel. That's how he decided to shoot it there. So I don't think that cost any money.
For sure. Yeah.
Fucking 6 cast members in the whole fucking.
Yeah.
Fucking nuts. $1 million.
And 2 rooms.
Dude spent $600,000 on an igloo for the fucking Wendigo. Ran out of money. Murray Orr.
Honestly, dude, now that, like, I'm actually, he probably did spend a lot of time wasting film because we also get that story of her talking about how she slept with a guy for money once. But that story lasted like a third of the movie.
And they're not trained actors. So imagine how many takes it took.
Yeah.
Like,
fuck, that long with the shitty story, which meant nothing to anybody ever.
That was fucking that was one of the most insane. There's a bunch of monologues in this where you're just like, what? Just show me the fucking Wendigo, baby. And they show you the Wendigo pretty quick, and then you're like, okay, I fuck with this. That dude's creepy. And then you only see him one other time for a second. Which is crazy. And I'm pretty sure it's just reused footage from the first one.
It for sure is the same. He's in the same just walking out like this. It's like grunting. I just want to stress again. Bravo. What's this guy's name? Mark? Jim Makichuk? Like, bravo, man. Just like making like a Bigfoot movie and just having some guy. And yeah, that's Bigfoot.
Having some guy in corpse paint locked up in the basement.
Remember the black metal band The Root?
Yeah.
The singer was like 65 years old when he joined. That's actually not an exaggeration. He was like a grandfather when he joined. Started way late, but that's essentially the same corpse paint that that the Wendigo has.
I just pulled it up. It is. That's so fucking funny. All right, so you got Murray Ord as Marty. Georgie Collins, the one of the only people besides the guy that does the music. That guy was actually pretty successful. The guy that does the music. His name is somewhere in my notes. I don't know where. But he would go on to do a lot of movies, including Prom Night and there's one other one. Oh, My Bloody Valentine. As well as some other movies. And I think Baby Geniuses. Anyway, Georgie Collins as the Ghost Keeper.
Paul Zaza was his name.
Paul Zaza, yeah.
The Ghost Keeper, yeah. She's in Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, the Wild West movie.
Oh, and she was also in Rad as Luke's mom. And a Ghost Keeper, what would a Ghost Keeper do? Do they watch Wendigos or do they watch ghosts?
I mean, he doesn't know. The director doesn't know. He just fucking went with it. That's why I like it.
So here's my thing. There was no second half of the script, right?
Who's he claiming wrote the script?
I think him.
Oh, he wrote it.
Him and his friend, yeah.
Yeah, dude, there's no fucking script.
I feel like
it's the same reason why I like Mano's Hands of Fate, because that director was just like, hey man, we're just gonna do this, see what happens. And also just telling people, remember that guy was telling people that Hollywood magic will fix it in the post?
I guarantee this guy had the same scam. But except his scam was not Hollywood magic will fix it. It was like, sorry guys, we ran out of money, so cancel everything. Back it up. Just run around. So anyway, so that's that. We already talked about where it was filmed. The film's antagonist. For the film's antagonist, filmmakers drew inspiration from the Native American legend of the Wendigo. Okay. A cannibalistic spirit that possessed humans roaming the wilderness in search of human flesh. According to Makichuk, can't wait to hear this, the Wendigo was originally intended to have a more substantial role in the film, but oh yeah, I already explained that. So,
I thought you were gonna tell me what his interpretation of the.
That's what I was hoping for, also. And yeah, most of these people were locally hired from the Calgary area. So,
now, who would you rather hang out with, old James Makichuk or the idiot from last week that unboxes his own merch at his dining room table?
Oh, Jim Makichuk for sure, because. I feel like the based on the things this guy says, he feels like he's been done dirty, like in this whole deal. And I got to hear that. Like, it sounds like he was like, if it weren't for the money, this would be a fucking slam dunk.
You know, he doesn't have a follow up to that, right? Like, if you were to sit with him and be like, well, what would you have done? There's no. He's going to make it up on the fly again.
Yeah, again. Yeah. Well, for the second half, dude, the Wendigo chases her up to the roof for a fucking a long-winded fight on the roof. Oh, also, halfway through, and there was no setup for that, even at halfway through, Mark. You were like, it was not set up for anything. Anyway, we'll get into it. Here we go. What do you think? Let's start this fucking thing. What is this called? Ghost Keeper.
Ghost Keeper. Dude, only 18 minutes in to start the episode this week. That's good record, for a recent
record break.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Ghost Keeper. So we open with a fucking text on the screen. In the Indian legends of North America, there exists a creature called Wendigo, which is also spelled differently than I'm familiar with it.
Okay. Yeah.
A ghost who lives on human flesh. You know what? I actually didn't read that intro title. Like, I wrote it down, but I didn't actually read it until just now. This guy thinks a fucking Wendigo is a ghost.
Well, let's see what Wikipedia says about old Wendigos.
Dude, I mean, maybe, because it's just a thing?
Just an evil spirit, yeah.
But it takes the form of a fucking... No, it's a monster. It's for sure a monster.
I don't know. I mean, I think
Wendigo is described as a giant humanoid with a heart of ice, a foul stench, a bunch of.
Where are you seeing this?
Wikipedia.
I don't see that.
It's the first paragraph.
You have fucking Wendigo psychosis,
though. Dude, that's fucking crazy.
Maybe Wendigos are real.
Maybe they are.
All right. Sorry. Well, anyway, you know what? I scroll down more and I see the picture. I see the pictures. This guy's wrong. This guy's wrong.
Yeah. That's no, right, this Jim. Has been like, I mean, you're talking about something that's centuries old. Very, very clear in what it is. I don't know how much room for interpretation there is to make it a ghost. But that's what our boy does here. We get long panning shot of the beautiful mountains of Canada. And we got snowmobilers. Which was weird because in the premise it was like they were like snowmobilers. This is about three snowmobilers, which is like such a funny thing. It's just to get them there. There's no cool stunts or anything. With the snowmobile.
They don't even come back after they get there.
No, they blow one up. No, they don't. They don't. They do. They just melt one.
Well, yeah, it lights up fire. Yeah.
We get the snowballers. We see a couple who takes a break from snowmobiling to go to the general store in the middle of the mountains. And immediately the lead here, is his name? Marty.
Marty, yeah.
Marty, biggest piece of shit maybe ever.
Wow.
Right. From the jump, dude, this guy is the fucking worst. This guy is fucking awful.
I agree, but like ever in all the movies he did?
I don't know, man. Yeah. Anyway, he walks into this fucking general store. I don't have the memory to fight that one. So he walks into the general store and immediately starts making fun of the old man who works there by being like, "When does the whittling start?" And the guy's like, "What?" And he's like, usually places like this, the guy's whittling by the fire. The guy's like, oh, okay. A real raz. And at first I was like, this guy's a fucking asshole. But then the store owner calls Disney cartoons moving pictures. And I was like, you know what? Marty's fucking right. Fuck this guy. Marty's like, you never seen a Disney movie? He's like, oh, you mean the moving pictures? Hey, it's 1982.
1981.
Yeah. Fuck out of here. Moving pictures. Our third snowmobiler shows up, Chrissy, who has a boyfriend. It is mentioned here. And then for the rest of the movie, just tries to fuck Marty. And guess what? Marty's with his girlfriend and likewise with him. So... don't understand that dynamic or why it was included in this movie, because it takes it destroys like any connection between these characters, because you're just like, oh, these people are all, besides Jenny, right? Like, these people suck. Like, these people are the fucking pits. Like yeah. Who am I even rooting for any of these people? And Jenny's kind of weird too, but because you're just like, there's like no stakes in it. Like, you don't want Marty to survive, and you don't want Marty to even get with Jenny anymore, because you're like, this guy sucks.
Yeah, I mean, the character development is, there's a lot to be left desired here, because you don't, like you said, there's nothing at stake. You're not invested. You don't give a shit. And even like the ghost keeper, I don't really care about.
No. The store owner here, he's like, listen, be careful when you go into the woods. And literally all of them are like, what are you, some kind of fucking jerk? What's the big deal about the woods? And Chrissy, who's the blonde woman, she says, what can even happen in the mountains? They're so beautiful.
I wrote that down too. What a stupid line.
I have a question. Were we as a people just like way dumber like pre-1985? Like, was that just like there was no internet?
I don't know, man. We're pretty dumb now.
Maybe more dumb.
I would argue more so.
Yeah. Yeah. Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, for sure.
And obviously it was a lot of, you know, natural selection, like these people who are just like, how can mountains be dangerous?
That is true.
Anywho, these kids go off on those damn motorized toboggans out into the woods. They see a keep out sign. And Jenny, the voice of reason, is like, I don't think we should go in there. And the other two bully her into it, of course. So they go into the woods where Chrissy, it appeared she got shot. I don't know what actually happened. I don't think they mention what happened, but she falls off her snowmobile and there's like a loud bang. And I genuinely thought that possibly she was shot because it said like private property, no trespassing.
Yeah, right.
But she's fine.
So the amount of jump scares this guy tried to do in the first half an hour
was nuts.
It was not
the cat, the falling through the door, dude, and none of them land, like not even remotely land.
No.
You know, maybe we got to give people that do jump scares a little more credit.
It's definitely an art form, right? You might not like it, but yeah, people pull it. It's pulled off well.
Clearly, not everyone can do it.
So. Right.
This guy tried multiple times, and every time you were just like, no, what?
I honestly like sighed after the cat one.
The cat, dude, right, that's what I did too.
It's like, stop. It's not working.
Well, so she gets hit with something. She falls off. And then they can't start her snowmobile, which is convenient that they're right in front of Deer Lodge, a very large hotel. So they break in. Mm-hmm. And then they immediately start snooping around. I realize no one's checked in for 5 years. Dude, they all have Y's at the end of their names, and it drives me fucking crazy. Jenny. It's Jenny, Chrissy, and Marty.
Jenny and Marty.
Yeah. Unreal. Jenny points out, even though it's been 5 years, why is it warm in here then? Mm. And Marty says, there's probably someone here. That's the end of that conversation. Everyone's just like, yeah, that's true. Fun fact, they'll find someone later. Jenny will find someone later. Actually, I'm sorry. Jenny will say she thinks somebody's in there. They've already talked about this. And everyone is like, what are you, some kind of fucking moron? It's probably just me. She's like, no, I think it's somebody here. And then they'll find that person like 3 minutes after that conversation.
I just thought of what Marty says when he finds her, and it made me laugh out loud. Saying that to a person.
Oh, I didn't write it down. I think I know. I know. I'm going to remember when you say it, though.
Do I want me to wait till we get there?
Or? Yeah, it's like right here anyway.
Okay.
It's right here. So they keep snooping around. We get the cat jump scare, and Jenny finds a closet with a gun, which she just casually leaves there. But don't worry, that'll come into play, guys. We get real-time exploring of a hotel, which is always
real
for the viewer. Time. Fun for the viewer. Walking room to room, closing windows. And a really creepy scene when she closes the window with an eye with like stringy hair covering her face, watching her.
He saw Black Christmas. He did. A little Billy.
It was a good scene.
It was good. I liked it too.
I was like, oh, I was like, yes, here we fucking go. Let's fucking go. Let's do this. This is the fucking ghost keeper. She'll unleash the Wendigo. Anyway, none of that happens. Anyway, so she leaves the room. Nothing happens there. And then the crew's sitting around the fire. Marty starts singing a song, as you mentioned, which is the Speedy Gonzales song, but also thrown in a couple lines about raping people, which
is fucking nuts.
Gives himself a big old chuckle after that, which is bizarre. But not as bizarre as, well, then Jenny reveals she thinks somebody's in the house, and they are all like, Chrissy's like, what is it, a vampire? What the fuck? Anyway, Chrissy then is like, let's tell secrets. I'll go first. I wanted to be a prostitute when I was in the 10th grade and fucked my teacher. And you're like, what the fuck was that? Dude, yeah. I had to rewind it.
Yeah. And this, and then she, I mean, that's enough, right? Just say that and be like, okay, that's a pretty good secret. But then she tells the story for like a good chunk of the movie.
Yes, yes, yes. I reduced
it. Huge setup.
It's crazy. It's a dude, detailing how she did it with the teacher, how she moved his hand. I put his hand on my leg because men love that. And I, dude, she talks about how they haggle. He, dude, the teacher haggled her down for sex. She was like, $100 and we'll have sex. He haggled her down to 40 and fucked her twice.
Twice, yeah.
That's insane. Yeah. By the way, she's talking about being 16 and doing this with her fucking teacher.
Right. Before that, she's like, let's tell deep, dark secrets about ourselves. Yep. And Marty goes, oh, like I have VD? Right in front of his girlfriend.
This is unreal. His relationship with his girlfriend, like, why even bother making them boyfriend and girlfriend in this?
Right. It should just be three friends, right?
Right. It made no fucking sense. And then, by the way, Chrissy goes into all that detail and I was like, oh, gosh, I don't know why I told you that. That's... That's crazy. That's been a big old secret.
Having second thoughts about that when it was her idea to tell the secrets and then telling it for that long.
Could have stopped like 15 minutes in and not gotten the secret out. Fucking maniac. Well, that's when Marty goes to get more wine and he's attacked by that person that we saw earlier, who is a weird old woman. And what was the line Marty said that you were talking about?
Dude, he runs into her and he's like face to face with the old woman. And he's just like making eye contact with her and says, I think it's an old lady. Dude, I would be so fucking insulted.
And the old woman doesn't speak, which I thought was kind of a cool thing. And, you know, she's like not talking. And then she just immediately starts talking. That won't shut the fuck up.
Yeah. It doesn't stop.
She says, you can't stay here. You got to go now. She finally concedes, though, allowing them to stay.
But let me ask you, why did she? Wouldn't it be, knowing that what we know now, wouldn't it have been more in her interest to be like, you need to stay here?
Absolutely.
Go back to your rooms.
Absolutely. None of this was written. There was no script on this fucking movie. Fucking kidding me? Of course, the whole plot should have centered around her, like, reassuring them.
Please stay.
To not go. This segment, she won't shut the fuck up about being like, you got to get the fuck out of here. And they're like, it's really bad outside. We can't go. And she's like, I don't give a fuck. Like, get the fuck out of here. And then they have to like plead with her to let them stay. And she's like, fucking fine. Absolutely miserable about it. Anyway, and then she reveals that she ain't alone. She's got her boys here and they keep her company. But she's still very vague, right? Anyway, she brings them to their rooms. Chrissy gets on her own and Jenny and Marty are together. And as we mentioned, there's a weird thing where Chrissy is 1,000% trying to fuck Marty. But they haven't outwardly explained Marty and Jenny's relationship to the point where I was like, maybe they aren't dating, until this scene in which Jenny's like, do you want to sleep with her? And Marty's like, well, it's not like you own me or something. What is it with you anyway? Why do you always want to start something? You're like, oh, that's fucking weird phrasing. And then he goes on to be like, I have the right to live my life the way I want. We settled on that. Just remember who pays the bills. You got nothing to say about that, huh? This guy is a fucking maniac. So Marty is basically dating Jenny, but also has let her know he will fuck whoever he wants, whenever he wants, because he pays her bills. Now,
it's a bold strategy.
It's a very bold strategy. And hey, weirdly, it works. You think Jenny might have an arc of like getting out from under this? And in a way she does. But not really, because that I feel like she was just possessed by the Wendigo in that moment. Prior to that, she ends up apologizing to him. Being like, hey man, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been on your case. Anyway, while this is all happening, the old ghost ladies in the background just listening to him and laughing. Oh, also Marty calls her crazy and she's like, don't ever call me that. And he's like, oh, you scared you're gonna fucking lose your lid like your old lady? And you find out this poor woman's mom actually had like psychosis.
Was it Wendigo psychosis?
Well, that is sort of answered at the end, but not really. Because she, I don't know. Is the ghost keeper her mom?
No. No. That would be nuts.
I mean, the ghost keeper says she's her mom.
Wait, what? No.
When they have the fight, the final showdown, ghost keeper's like, I'm your mom.
But no, because Jenny's mom's dead.
Yeah. Oh,
she's
yeah.
Saying like she's like taunting her, doing the old Reagan shtick.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. Also, this lady that plays the ghost. Well, not this lady that plays the ghost keeper in the movie, is fucking token all the time. That lady is getting high constantly. That was weed, right? That wasn't like cigarettes, right?
I thought it was hand rolled cigarettes.
I don't know. She's having a good time though. She's laughing. She's smiling all the time.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Just out there in the fucking Banff.
What's that stand for?
Banff. It's the name of the place. Banff.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, everyone decides to go take a bath. Chrissy's bath, though, is interrupted by a giant man drowning her.
Yeah, probably the worst way to be interrupted.
Besides the old toaster, yeah, the fucking
dude. Can we get some data pulled here and see how many toaster bathtub deaths there have actually been?
Probably zero, is my guess.
I mean, why? Why would there be a toaster thing? There? Yeah,
I don't know. The radio, like back in the day, the old radio in the tub, I could maybe see, but...
Sure.
Hey, remember... Still kind of dumb. Remember when your dad thought your kids were going to get electrocuted?
I do. Because the new bathroom had the outlet near by the sink.
Not. Which, like, all bathrooms have an outlet near there now.
Right.
For like hair dryers.
They have the new grounds.
You know, yeah, GFIs. Yeah.
GFI. Yeah.
Your dad was like, this is the kind of fucking electric. Your dad's the only guy that believes in the fucking toaster in the would probably tell you he's like knows
dude, people. That gimmick, that yeah, he 1000% would. That gimmick of not only electrocuting yourself, but committing murder by throwing a toaster and like finding someone in the room while they're bathing. How many people died by toaster in bathtub?
If there's
National Institution of Health bathtub related executions in the United States from 1979. So let's see how many were by toaster.
79. Dude, there's no way they
No, from 1979. Not 79 cases.
Yeah, but there's no way that's
95 people were electrocuted in bathtubs.
But there's no way any of them.
No word of toaster.
No word of toaster. Dude, the internet is such a fucking weird place. This site says, never put a toaster in the bathtub. Who the fuck would do that anyway? Like, it's fucking nuts. Toaster in the bathtub. Anyway. There's no toaster. She just gets drowned. But they go to look for her. No one can find her. The bathtub's still there. Jenny looks for her, but there's nothing there. You'd think this was a movie about Wendigos or something, right? I don't know. Nothing so far. But Marty goes to look for Chrissy. He can't find her. And then we see the guy that killed her carrying her body. And it turns out she's not dead. She's alive. But then he immediately slits her throat.
Immediately, yeah. Thanks for sticking around. Thanks for putting up the fight.
He like plops her down and she's alive and you're like, oh, okay, that's an interesting little twist. Boom, dead. And you're like, okay, well, two deaths for the price of one. And then we assume she's being fed to this creepy looking fella who is living in an igloo on the property. We don't know who he is. We don't know if he's eating her. And that's that. That's all you see. You don't see anything.
Right.
You make a guess. You just see him slit the throat. She hits the ground. And that's the end of the scene. So, good Wendigo material here. There's also a weird scene of someone using an axe chopping something up. What was that? Do you remember that? It was like their shadow. And you're like, ooh, what's going on here? We don't know.
Yeah, because you assume they're hacking them up, right?
Yeah, but she's already dead.
Who's to say?
Jenny is woken up in the middle of the night by the ghost lady talking about some weird shit to her and talking to somebody in the shadows, being like, dude, it's fucking awful. Just being like, saying shit like, we have to do it. Oh, if we don't do it, don't worry. You did a good thing. Things like that. And Jenny's like, that's weird. Next day, Marty tries to get the snowmobiles working, though, which he doesn't, and one of them is missing. So Marty confronts the old lady and is like, you did this. The old lady's like, I didn't. And so Marty's like, fine, I'll go figure this out. So Jenny stays with her. They have a weird confrontation, but that amounts to nothing. But I guess the ghost keeper sort of reveals what's happening here. Very vaguely. Right? Like,
yeah.
I didn't think it was very clear.
I mean, okay. I was going to defend it for a second, but I'm not going to. I'm going to say that I like the movie, and I think if you want it to make sense, you can in your mind, but what she says here doesn't really help.
Not at all. No. Jenny then is given tea by this woman who, by the way, Jenny is very suspicious of, but she takes the tea from her, drinks it, and loses consciousness. Okay, cool. We're going somewhere. We got something happening here. This is interesting. She wakes up in a room on the floor, conveniently next to a book of the Indian Legends of Canada. And when she opens the page...
I have questions.
Yes. So
what's the point of drugging her if you're not just going to kill her, right?
Correct.
You just drug her to move her from one room to another room and have her wake up and be like, well, that was weird.
And then she leaves.
Right. She's not incapacitated. And also, why do you, as a Wendigo keeper, have that folklore book, like the Mangle book, right?
Hoping it tells you how to feed them?
Yeah, I hope nobody reads this and figures out how to defeat me.
It appears it's the only thing in the book, too, because when she opens it, it just opens immediately to Wendigo.
How to beat Wendigo, yeah.
Also, in this book, Wendigos apparently only eat females. There you go. This guy's just making up rules as he goes along. So she reads that and she's like, that's fucking weird. And then she decides to leave, which she does. She walks out of the room. It's not locked. She finds the fucking igloo, which has a wooden door, which is kind of fucking funny. She opens it to reveal the monster in there, who is a guy in corpse paint, as we mentioned. That is the last time we will see him. So she opens the door, you see him, and she's like, what the fuck? And then a guy with a chainsaw shows up and she has to run away from him.
Well, we see him one more time at the end.
Do you?
You do, yeah. After the chasing.
Oh, yes.
But like you said, it's the same shot. It's the same shot.
She even does the same thing. She just opens the door and it's like, hello. Oh, it's you. And
it's so stupid.
It's nuts, dude. Making a Wendigo film like this. You didn't even use the word Wendigo. You don't even have to market it as that.
I agree.
Market it as something else. It's so crazy. But the chase is on. The guy with the chainsaw is chasing Jenny around. I don't know how they end up on the roof, but they do. And
she runs up through the attic and then it's like an entry.
Well, that's cool. But what's cooler is her accidentally killing this guy. Not even on purpose. She's not even defending herself.
Being like a clumsy, like a goof. And knocks the guy off to get some bail.
She hits him with a door on the roof. There's just a door to the roof. Door swings open, hits the guy, and he's like, and honestly, she looks upset. She's like, oh no. By the way, there's multiple scenes, speaking of being upset, there's multiple scenes where Marty is like, I can't believe you fucking killed a man. Fucking insane. But he's like, I can't even look you in the eye. You killed that guy. And also when Marty stumbles upon the body right here, Marty's like, I gotta go. And just starts like fucking, he turns and starts walking the opposite direction. She's like, hey, Marty, we gotta get the fuck out of here. Like something bad's happening. And Marty's like, get the fuck away from me. And then while he's blaming her for killing a man, he watches the old woman light his snowmobile on fire. He's still like, can you believe this bitch killed that guy? These seem like trustworthy individuals at this house. I don't know where her problem is. Killing
him. Fucking Marty.
Marty sucks. 5 minutes go by in this scene, and then Marty turns around and he's just smeared fucking old motor oil all over his face, like a fucking lunatic. And again, I was willing to give the movie a little credit here. He's got Wendigo psychosis, maybe. He's losing his fucking mind. I don't know if that's what this was.
I think it was. I'll give the movie some credit there.
Okay. Well, if it is, then it sucks because when Jenny gets it, Jenny's got the Wendigo. Jenny's got the go. She's in. Like, she's acting crazy at the end. You know what I mean? This guy's acting crazy, but not like with the intentions of Wendigo. Like, he's like acting crazy, but then it's like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. And, like, storms into the woods, you know? Like, whereas Jenny goes crazy and is like, I'm gonna start behaving like the people that live here.
Right.
So I don't know.
I think he is. I don't have an answer as to why she's more so possessed.
Here,
but
here, I've got the fucking answer. The guy saw The Shining, right? Like, that's all this boils down to.
Well, yeah. Like, once
I'm gonna
again,
make him act crazy. I'm gonna give me your best Jack Nicholson performance. This is what we got. Smearing motor oil on.
I'm 100% okay with that theory. Wait, what is on the actual Wendigo's face in the basement?
I don't know, man.
Is it motor oil?
No.
This guy thinks they do.
Well, that guy never saw the Wendigo.
No. I'm saying, when I say, is that what this guy thinks?
Oh, my God.
I'm talking about the director.
Oh, my God. Yeah, when the ghosts possess you, you rub oil all over your face. Classic Wendigo behavior. Hey, Joe. No, I don't think so. I'm looking at
pictures. Pull it up.
It's so hard to see, dude. It's one of the most poorly lit fucking things in the movie.
Well, that's the other, I mean, I think that's why I actually like how the Wendigo looks, because you don't know what you're looking at. Like, wait, it's just.
Yes, I agree with that. Yeah, look at this fucking picture. Who, me? I mean, that's creepy. That's creepy imagery for those of you watching on the YouTube. Yeah. It's creepy imagery. I like it. I don't think it is supposed to be like the same thing the guy's drawing on his face. Like, I think those are supposed to be like veins.
I don't know.
I have no idea either. And guess what?
We'll like you said, I've never seen a worse picture.
And that's all of the pictures of it.
Well, those are the two shots. Those are the two times see the Wendigo.
My bad. Fucking ridiculous. Here he is. You know, maybe, I don't know. He might think that that's what Wendigos do. They paint their faces too. Who can say? Look at this fucking idiot. So anyway, so he paints his face and he's just acting insane. He's losing his mind. He's grabbing Jenny by the hair too. Just saying like the crazy shit like, I went to college and read books with big words in it, and I would never defend a man for less than 75 grand. I was like, what the fuck? This fucking guy talking. Anyway, Jenny's like, hey, it's okay. There's a gun in the closet. Let's fucking kill him, and we're done. And Marty's like, nah. And he fucking leaves. And when she tries to chase him down, he just like shoves her into the snow. He just like pushes her on the forehead, knocks her over into the snow,
right,
and continues on his way. Meanwhile, while that's going on, the store owner is back. He's snowshoeing to the area. He was like, don't you dare snowmobile out there. And he sees the trespassing sign in the tracks and he's like, these fucking kids. And he walks up to the hotel. You'd think something cool is going to happen. Shop owners here. I love a little, you know, the old guy helping out the kid.
Yeah, like Texas Chainsaw.
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. You know, I love that little thing. He's stabbed immediately at the end of him. We don't even see him get fed to the wind.
Thanks for showing back up, guy.
That's a wrap on him. Jenny, though, makes it back to the house finally. She grabs the gun. She finds bullets. She finds Mama. Mama tells her the gun doesn't work, never has. They have this big scene where Mama's, I don't know why I'm calling her Mama now. Ghostkeeper's like, hey, I'm your mom. I don't even know. She's not even like doing a, she's doing terribly. Anyway.
Was she even trying to do the voice of the lady's mom, or was she just using her own voice?
She was using her own voice.
Hey, I'm your mom. Yeah. Okay. That's what I thought.
which was okay. So then like, again, like towards, okay. So we'll get to it at the end, but like, that's what bothered me at the end where I was like, maybe she is trying to be, I don't know. Cause anyway, Jenny shoots her. That's it. She's dead. She's dead, but that's not the end of the movie. Because Jenny,
after she's like, "You don't have the guts to shoot me. You will never do that." And she immediately kills her.
Yeah, she does do that. And then she heads downstairs and she goes to, you know, the Wendigo's little hut, thinking she's gonna blow him out of the water, fucking end this once and for all. And instead, she says, "It's okay. Jenny will look after you now." And that's that.
She's the ghost keeper now.
She's the ghost keeper now. And so she also goes to Marty's body and like is like, don't worry, Marty, I'll be back. She just keeps saying, telling people, don't worry. Visiting them and leaving immediately. But Marty's dead out in the snow. He's frozen to death.
Again, The Shining.
Yeah. And she's like, don't worry, Marty, I'll come back for you. And then we close with her sipping tea by the fire and then hearing voices of the ghost keeper, right? She's hearing the ghost keeper's voice. which was a running thing in the movie where she could hear her talking without her being nearby. So then at the end, I was like, wait, is that her mom's voice or is that Ghost Keeper? Or is that like, I had no idea. I had no idea. And you'd think they would tie any of this together. But they don't.
Yeah, I don't know.
And that is Ghost Keeper.
You know,
quite the film.
Fine. Fine. When I Sean said it's not good. It's not. But it's not. I kind of recommend, dude, for listen, we've been doing this for 10 years. You got to find some lesser known things.
Yeah.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad.
No, I think it's like a fun, I think it can be fun. I don't know. It's fine. I guess.
It's fine. Yeah. It's fine.
It's just a weird ass movie to show people.
Yeah. Only watch it if you've exhausted all of your other options. If you're in the mood for some horror and there's some like, you know, C tier, go to those first.
Well, in better news, in better film moves, but this was the December to remember. I'll tell you what. What a fucking December. 30 Days of Night, Satan's Blade, Ghost Keeper. The hits keep coming. And next, this Saturday, the 23rd, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will be doing Jack Frost Watch Along for Patreon. So join us for that. That's going to be a real good time. So patreon.com/IHateHorror for that.
I can't wait because I haven't seen Jack Frost since we did an episode on it. And that was like episode, it was in our like first 10 early. Episodes. Yeah. Right? So I know we like this, tried to approach it like it was a serious film, like fucking assholes, like Siskel and Ebert watching Jack Frost. Snowman fucks Shannon Elizabeth in a bathtub trying to critique it. So now I'm glad that we're past that and I can just have fun watching.
Yeah, agreed. Also, it's so funny that like the negative reviews that we do get occasionally, it's always like they want us to be that way. And I'm like, that sucks. Like that's like, that would be the fucking worst. That would be the fucking worst if we sat here and did. I mean, we did do that for a long time, but. Although, I don't know, people say it's, like, not that bad. People are like, you guys were not nearly as, like, insane as you think you were.
I mean, thank you. But again, seriously approaching movies like that? Fuck you. What the fuck?
Yes. I mean, it's insane. So, we got Jack Frost. That's going to be a good one. And then we got Ernest in January, baby. We'll pull the dates for that.
Dude, fucking Ernest Serial Killer. I can't wait.
I'm so fucking excited. You have no idea. That'll be good. Found footage February. So anyway, yeah, patreon.com/IHateHorror if you want to support us. We got the live show this Saturday, the 23rd, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So join us for that. The horrorshowstore.com. I will never remember that domain. Yes, thehorrorshowstore.com. We got the merch over there. Wilford Brimley, I don't know, because we're recording this super in advance. That design might be out, but I just found an artist. So it might take a little bit longer because I really want to use this artist's artwork so badly. Did you take a look at it?
You sent it to me?
I sent it in the Instagram chat. So
Tonight?
I was looking up, like right before we started recording.
Oh, no, I didn't see it.
Dude, pull it up. It's fucking insane. Because I've been scouring the internet for Wilford Brimley pics. I wanted like a picture of his face where I could go black and white. Just, dude, the only guy in existence, this artist, drew Wilford Brimley from The Thing. The only time somebody's ever drawn him looking like the ultimate killing machine. Ever.
That is awesome, dude.
And I was like, I think I need to get this artist's permission to use his artwork on this. And I think he'll be down.
Yeah.
Knowing that I'm going to call him the ultimate killing machine. So it might be a little bit delayed. It might be a little bit delayed to get it, but it would be worth it for that design. It'll be so worth it. In the middle, the ultimate killing machine. two stars around them. It's going to be fucking mint.
Yeah, I need that shirt.
So we're gonna get that going, though. So keep an eye out for that. What else was there? Oh, rate, review, subscribe. If you do, send me an email, sean@ihatehorror.com, and we'll send you some stickers. What else? Facebook.com/ihatehorror, Instagram @ihatehorror. Joe, where can they find you?
Instagram, boognish1985.
That's a wrap, everyone. Thank you all so much. Hey, Joe, are you doing a live stream soon?
Trying. I wanted to this past weekend, and then, you know, life got in the way, and like we had to change our recording.
Yeah.
I had storm duty.
Yeah.
For my job. So.
All right. Well,
I'll try.
Keep me posted. I'll try also. I'll try to squeeze in one. Maybe. Well, I'm not. I don't know why I'm saying this. This comes out over a week. We're recording this so early. It's like,
yeah, fucking I was just thinking about that. Yeah, I know. Because we just recorded Satan's Blade 2 days ago.
2 days ago. I know.
Fuck.
I know. It's fucking.
But that goes into this topic. Like, I have so much shit, like, from tomorrow until Saturday. Like, I'm completely booked.
Yeah.
So I'll try my hardest. I would love to watch. I wanted to do something for, like, Europe. Our European listeners, you know,
ooh, yes,
do like
yes,
a
yes,
early
yes.
weekend yes. stream
at 3 p.m.
But it just time sucks, man. Time's hard.
Time is hard.
But at the very least, I'll try and do something like midweek next week.
All right. Yeah.
Santa with muscles.
I'm going to try and do one tomorrow.
Santa Conquers the Martians.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, a double feature.
I just downloaded a bunch of Christmas movies. I'm going to put them up tonight so you could take a look at those too.
What'd you get?
Oh, let's see. Well, Red Claws.
Fuck.
Rare Exports.
Well, that's our boy, Paul Giamatti.
Yes.
Santa Claus.
Yes. Santa's Sleigh.
Okay.
Batman Returns.
Yeah, that's pretty heavily requested.
It is. And it's one of those ones that I didn't do just because. It is what it is, you know? Like, it's too on the nose, and, like, the horror show can't just do normal shit. We always gotta be fucking cool. Is Rare Exports in English or no?
I've only seen it once. I liked it. I don't even remember if there's dialogue. I remember a bunch of Santa Clauses being dropped off somewhere.
It's a weird fucking movie. All right. Well, anyway, I'll try and also... I might do one tomorrow, a live stream. I'll see.
Nice. Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas.
Dude, I saw that and I almost downloaded it for the Chucks, and then I just was like, you know what? I think that's a good idea.
It's something.
You've seen it?
Oh yeah,
Joe.
Multiple times.
What are you doing? Why?
It's bad.
Of course it is. What are you talking about? Guy lost his fucking marbles. All right. Anyway, that's it. We got some Christmas stuff coming up for you guys. And thank you all for being patient with us while we navigate the holidays. And that's that. So thank you all. Thanks to Joe. And for Joe, this is Sean. Stay weird.
Thank you.
Adios.
Movies all fucking day.
I wanna play.
I'm gonna watch what I'm not supposed to watch.
Dismember. Fucking zombie getting sliced and diced.